Slide tonight. Going to the book of Acts. Amen. I don't know where, but we're going somewhere in the book of Acts. Let's go to the 19th chapter. Look at verse number 10, verse 12. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Everybody said there was a revival. Verse 23 said, in the same time there arose no small stir about the way. Everybody said, and there was a riot. Amen. That's what we're going to preach about tonight. We're going to preach about a revival and a riot. A revival and a riot. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. Amen. You know, when we think about revival, oftentimes we think about tranquility. We think of the absence of trouble. You know, when you have revival, then everything gets straightened out. Everything goes smooth. You get prayed through. Everybody gets prayed through. And everything is just hunky-dory. And everything is good. And there's not any trouble. And we think, now we're having revival. Well, that's not apostolic. In the Bible, when they had revival, they also had a riot. Amen. So it's not unusual to have revival and trouble at the same time. It's not unusual for God to be working and the devil to be working overtime. Amen. When there's revival, there's usually going to be some kind of trouble going on. Amen. If you're asleep tonight, if the devil's not too worried about you, if there's not anything happening and there's not anything going on in your life, then he's not too worried about you. But if you're stirred enough to pray, and you're stirred enough to worship, and you're stirred enough to witness, and you're stirred enough to work, and you're stirred enough to give, then he gets concerned. Amen. And he starts trying to create chaos and trouble in your life because he doesn't want a revival to break out. Amen. Ephesus was a city of commerce. It was a seat of Roman pageantry and power and justice for Asia Minor. It was a sports city. It was the home of the Panionian Games. It was the center of pagan worship. It was famous. People there, they sold all kinds of spells and they had little omelets you could put around your arm and for good luck, and good luck, I guess they had rabbit's feet, I don't know, and whatever brought good luck, and everybody wanted one from Ephesus because it was supposed to be the place that had a lot of good luck, and good luck charms, and so it was famous for that. It was famous for criminals. There was a church there. Well, it was a temple, actually, and it was a pagan temple. But they offered amnesty. So if people could go around the temple of Diana, though they were thieves and crooks and criminals, they'd be safe there. And the arm of the law could not reach them. Amen. Well, I know one sheriff got real concerned because everybody that kept coming to jail, they'd say, what church are you associated with? And they'd name the Pentecostal church in the city. So he called the pastor one day and he said, I want to talk to you about your people. Amen. Well, what he didn't realize is that that pastor ran buses in the roughest part of town, and he bussed the kids in that nobody else wanted, and they already had problems. They were drug addicts, and they were strung out on alcohol and glue and paint and everything else you can imagine, and their minds and their lives were messed up. And he was bringing them into church and preaching the gospel to them and giving them an opportunity. Some of them didn't get quite straight, but they never forgot the church. Amen. Praise God. Hey, there's folks all over this city that need to be here tonight. It's time for revival. I said, it's time for a revival. It's time for a revival. Praise God. Let me just prove to you that what I'm saying tonight is the truth. Jesus Christ, in the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 34 to 36, said this. He said, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, the daughter against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." And that may not be hard to do. "And a man's foes shall be they of his own household." Jesus was saying, when I come, there's going to be trouble. I want you to know tonight, when Jesus comes into your life, it's not always going to make everything all right. There were some young people a few weeks ago that got the Holy Ghost here in a youth rally. Amen. But they went home and their parents don't want them to come back here because we're weird. Amen. But you know what? They still got the Holy Ghost. Amen. You can keep young people out of church, but you can't keep Holy Ghost out of young people. Amen. I hope one of these days they just walk by their bedroom and they're in there talking in tongues. Amen. And just having a great time acting Pentecostal. They may rush them to the emergency room. Amen. One of our pastors was walking down the street of a big city, and there was a man laid out on the sidewalk. Everybody was gathered around him, and they were, everybody was concerned, wringing their hands and calling for an ambulance. "We need help here." The guy was laid out. He was talking in tongues. Amen. Nobody, they thought he was nuts. Amen. The pastor said, "He's all right. Just step back and let him go. He's speaking in tongues. He just received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and he's doing better than all the rest of us." Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, you can't keep the Holy Ghost down. You can't keep the, you can't regulate it once it gets going. Amen. One man snuck off in the early days of Pentecost to a Brush Harbor meeting, and he was just curious. He didn't really want to get it. He just wanted to see what was going on. So he got close, and he was out in the shadows and the priest, and after a while he got a little closer, and he got into the light, and he got too close, and the Holy Ghost got a hold of him, and he got down and repented of his sins, and God gave him the Holy Ghost that night. Amen. And oh, he shouted and danced and so full of joy. Amen. And he's walking home, and he was praying this prayer. He said, "Lord, let me be quiet. I don't want my wife to know what I've been up to." God did not answer that prayer. He got home. She opened the door, and right then it hit him again. And he started talking in tongues and shouting on the doorstep. And the first words of out of her mouth, "You went to that Pentecostal church, didn't you?" Amen. He did. But it wasn't long before she joined him. Amen. And they lived for God for many, many, many years and did a great work for the kingdom. This is wonderful, folks. We need revival. Amen. You get this Holy Ghost, it'll keep you. It'll keep you when everything else leaves you. Amen. Sister Whitehead, I remember my Aunt Maggie Amen. Your grandma, one of the sweetest ladies God ever put on this earth. Amen. But like a lot of folks, when she got older, got senile and Alzheimer's, part-timers, whatever it was, she got to where she couldn't remember things. And sometimes she didn't know who people were. She was off in her little world. But you'd hear her sometimes. You go to visit and you'd hear that little harmonica going before you ever got there. And she was playing "When the Saints Go Marching In." Amen. "I'll Fly Away." Before you ever got to her room, she might not know who you were when you got there. But she didn't forget her roots. Amen. Her daughter went to visit one day. Amen. Sister Whitehead's mom. And when she got there, she said, "How's Mom today?" And the nurses said, "Well, she's not doing very good. She's kind of out of her head, talking out of her head today." Well, when Bernie got down there and got close, she was in her little wheelchair, just praying, just talking in tongues, loving the Lord. Amen. And she told the nurses, she said, "Oh, you don't have to worry about Mom. She's doing better than any of us right now." Amen. You see, when she couldn't remember other things, she didn't forget what was most important. Amen. She didn't leave the Lord, and the Lord didn't leave her. I'm telling you tonight, this is the greatest thing that'll ever happen to you. Amen. It'll never let go. It'll never leave you. It'll always keep you. Amen. So Paul came to Ephesus, and they had a pretty good start. He saw some fellows coming out, and he asked them an unusual question. He said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said, "Well, we hadn't even heard about it." And he said, "Well, let me tell you." Amen. Hallelujah. Let me tell you about it. I knew a fellow one time, Brother Jared, he was from Life Tabernacle, and he was praying, he was earnest, and he said, "God," he said, "I want to win a soul that don't care. If I lose my job, I want to win somebody." And God heard that prayer. He went to work next day, and guess what? He lost his job. Well, he started looking for another one. And he found one. Amen. And he found one, and he went in, and then he saw this fella reading his Bible at lunchtime. And he said, the guy said, "Are you a Christian?" He said, "Yeah." "I see you reading your Bible there." And the fellow said, "Yeah." He said, "I'm reading over here in the book of Acts, chapter 2, about the Holy Ghost. Do you know anything about that?" "Oh, yeah, I know about that." Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And he began to tell him what the Holy Ghost was all about. He said, "I got the Holy Ghost. I know what speaking in tongues is. Praise the Lord. I practice that. I do that." Amen. Amen. Won the man to the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Won a whole lot of other people to God. Missionary today. Praise the Lord. But I'm just telling you tonight, this Holy Ghost business and revival's a good thing. Let me tell you what happens, Brother Bacon, when you're already revived in revival. It's not that you don't need revival then, because it takes you to the next level. The highest level of revival is harvest. And harvest is when it spills out of the church into the streets and into the marketplace and on the job site and in the halls of the school and in the homes of the people, and it gets outside the walls and it starts reaching the lost and the hurting and the dying and the needy, and it gets in their hearts and lives and they get introduced to Jesus Christ. That's what revival does. We never want to stop having revival. Amen. And so Paul comes, "Have you got the Holy Ghost?" He said, "We hadn't heard about it." He told him about it. Bible said, then he said, "Well, if you hadn't got Holy Ghost, what about baptism? How were you baptized?" And they said, "Well, we were baptized under John's baptism." And he said, "Well, that's okay. It don't matter how you're baptized." No, that's not what he said, was it? He didn't say that at all. Now, some people would say that. Because they say baptism really doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how you baptize. What did it did to Paul? That wasn't good enough. Amen. He said, well, you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus then. And the Bible says he took them and he baptized them, all 12, in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, every time you see people being baptized in the New Testament, without fail, every time, it's always in the name of Jesus. Always. It's never any other way. Amen. It's always in the name of Jesus. Amen. I know I've had people tell me, well, you know, I can argue from history. Well, that's fine, but I'm just going to take you to the Bible. I'm not too concerned what happened 300 years after Jesus Christ, or 500 years after Jesus Christ, or 800 years after Jesus Christ. I want to teach what Jesus said. I want to preach what the apostles said. It really doesn't matter what happened after that. Oh, we follow the church fathers. Well, let me tell you something. They were not in the church and they were not fathers. They might have been educated men. They were influential men. But anytime you get away from the Bible and apostolic doctrine, that's not the church. And you're not worthy to be called a father. Amen. I don't know about you, but when I want to know truth, I want to go right to the source. Amen. But I've heard people say, well, you know, the doctrines were not fully developed until years later. Oh, really? I remember Paul preaching something like this. He said, if any man or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which I have preached, let him be accursed. Paul wasn't interested in doctrines being developed after Jesus Christ. He wasn't looking for something else to be fully developed at some further time by somebody else. He preached what Jesus said. He preached what the apostles preached. And he said, if an angel or any other man preaches this, something different, let them be accursed. Amen. Praise God. I'm telling you, we're standing on good ground here tonight because we're in the Word of the Lord. So Paul preaches, baptized them, laid hands on them. They received the Holy Ghost and had a good start. They prophesied. Amen. That was the beginning of the Ephesian church. Now let me remind you, in Bible times, they did not have any church buildings. None. So how did they start churches? Well, this was Paul's method. Paul was a rabbi. He was a well-known and well-respected rabbi. So he went to the synagogue. And when he got to the synagogue, they would hand him, being a visiting rabbi, they'd hand him a scroll. And he'd roll down and find a verse about Jesus, and he'd start preaching. Hallelujah. Amen. And he'd preach Jesus. And some people would say, good, I like that, and they'd follow him. And he'd preach until they got so mad they run him off. But by then, there were some people that would go with him. You reckon that worked today? I know some folks wouldn't think much of that method, would they? Amen. But that's the way Paul did it. Went to the synagogue, preached truth. Amen. And then they'd run up. That's what happened here. The Bible said this is an interesting word. Let me take you back to this. I don't want you to miss it. The Bible said in chapter 19, again, verse number 8, he went to the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months. That's a long time with a lot of liberty. Disputing, persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. And when, listen closely, and when divers were hardened. You know what happens when you don't believe the Word of God and you don't act on the Word of God? You get hard against the Word of God. Instead of believing, you start doubting. And faith turns to unbelief. And so that's what happens. It's a dangerous thing to resist the Word of God. because it can harden you. And that's not something you want to happen in your life. So they hardened and believed not, and spake evil of that way before the multitude. And so he departed from them, separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. So he leaves there, and he goes to a school. There's a guy by the name of Tyrannus that had some kind of school. I don't know what he taught. The typical schedule in Bible times, they would start early in the morning, and then they would go till about 11 o'clock when it started getting hot. And then they would take a break from 11 o'clock till about 4 o'clock, and then they'd come back and work some more. So in the heat of the day, they rested. Now, I've seen people thinking, you know, like in Mexico and other countries, they think people taking a siesta is because they're lazy. No, it's because they're smart. When it gets hot, they quit. And they take a break until it gets cool, and then they go back to work again. To me, that's just smart, isn't it? I think so. Amen. It's a different schedule, but that's the way it works. You might want to recommend that, brother, over at Red Dot. But they probably wouldn't hear. And so that was the way. So Paul then, he taught in the heat of the day, in the hottest part of the day. I'm telling you, Christians ought to be a tough bunch. And if you're going to really make it for God, you've got to get tough. You got to grow a backbone. You got to learn how to stand on your own two feet. You've got to learn how to stand against the crowd. You've got to learn how to stand against opposition. You got to have a tender heart, but you got to have a tough hide. Because people are going to say things about you, and they're going to say things to you, and they're going to criticize, and you're going to just have to learn to just take it. If you're going to be a successful Christian, you got to stand up. You got to be strong. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. God does well with disciplined people. So when everybody else was snoozing, Paul was teaching and preaching. Amen. And you know what happened? The Bible said he kept doing that for 2 years. And from that little Bible school, that little school Tyrannus, where Paul was teaching and preaching and educating, the Scripture says they evangelized all of Asia Minor. I mean, it didn't stop in Ephesus. You go over in the book of Revelation and you read about the seven churches of Asia Minor. Do you know where those churches started? From Ephesus, where Paul was preaching and teaching. And he was just teaching and preaching, and other people went out. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, somebody criticized one time because we had some preachers leave here, and they thought something bad must have happened because we had preachers go. Isn't that what preachers are supposed to do? Hello? Aren't preachers supposed to go preach? Isn't that okay? Amen. Praise. I'm glad we got preaching to God. We got some more coming on. That's a good thing. We got a lot of places that need preachers today. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I'm just going to tell all of you right now that you're just going to get to preach when I don't want to. Because I got first dibs on the pulpit here, and I'm not going to let it go easy. Because I like preaching. I enjoy preaching the Word of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're going to hang around till I'm gone, you're going to do a lot of hanging. You may go before I do. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because we're here to stay. Amen. Unless the Lord does something different, and I don't feel like He is right now. Amen. And so Paul preached the gospel and sent out ministers and preachers and trained preachers and sent them all throughout the region. And they started churches and became pastors. Isn't that exciting? You know, that's what I'd like to see right here. We got towns all around us here that need churches. Praise the Lord. And I'd like to see a church in every city. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sister Wasser, I'd like to see a church continue where you started. Amen. Go back to Frankston, build it up. Praise the Lord. I'd like to see one in Kaufman up the road. Don't have an apostolic church that preaches this message that I know of. And there's towns, Malakoff and Trinidad. I know they're small, but small towns can have small churches, can't they? Amen. There's cities all around us that need churches. And who says we have to stop in Texas? Amen. We can send people to other states. Praise God. We got to have a vision, folks, that's as big as the revival God wants to give us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother David Gray is one of my heroes. Pastored a church in San Diego, California. Got a real comfortable church. I mean, it was a big church. Things were going good. You know what he did? He got a young man from that congregation that had a call to ministry, and he took him across town, and he helped him get in a building and pay the bills, and he sent a group of people over there with him to help him get started. And after a period of time, that church became self-supporting, and it became its own church with its own pastor. And then what happened to his church after sending those folks over there? It grew. And it got so big, he didn't have room for everybody. So he took another preacher, and he put him over in another part of town, and he sent some people over there, and he said, I'd like for you to go help this brother over there. And that church grew until it became a self-supporting church. And what happened to his church? It grew. And he kept doing that until he started churches all over the city of San Diego, California. That's a missions-minded man. That's a missions-minded man. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we need to start all the churches we can start. But that said, amen, when it's time to go, I believe the Lord will talk to both of us at the same time. So if you come to me and you tell me it's time to go, and the Lord doesn't tell me it's time for you to go, I'm going to tell you it's not time to go. Now, that may not keep you from going. Amen. But nonetheless, God, you know, He works through His leadership, and He confirms the Word. Amen. I've never held anybody back when it was time to go. But I've told a few that it wasn't time to go. Amen. It's kind of like the guy that went to get his license, and they were talking to him about his call to preaching. He said, I was out in the field and I was working. He said, suddenly I looked up in the sky, and there written in clouds in big letters, it said, GP, go preach. And the brethren said, how do you know it didn't mean go plow? Sometimes we interpret things the way we want to interpret things. We hear what we want to hear. And unfortunately, we do what we want to do. Amen. And so, Paul evangelized. I'm talking about revival, folks. They were having revival. But not only, let me tell you what happens when you have revival. Look at this. The Bible said, and it was just amazing the things happened. It said, God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Isn't this amazing? Sister Gibbons, can you still lift that arm up? Woo! Still working. Amen. Did you hear what Sister Dickerson said Wednesday night? Amen. She had a big spot on her side, a big hump, and that all went away. She had something on her face, and that went away. Amen. I'm just telling you, those are miracles. God just doing things. And what I think so neat about it is it's just happening. Nobody's getting a lot of glory. We're not up here doing a lot of mumbo jumbo. God's just doing His work. Amen. Not any man's getting any glory. I said not any man's getting any glory. All the glory goes to Jesus Christ. That's apostolic. That's the way it ought to be. I don't think we need superstars in the church. Amen. I think it ought to be that way. I think you're just worshiping God, and you got a cataract needs healing. It'll be like General Conference a few years ago. A guy was worshiping God. Something fell down his lap. He looked down. It was his cataract. God removed it before the service was over. Hallelujah. Another person sitting in the same service, Holy Ghost was moving, and all of a sudden they felt something funny going on in their leg, and God had put cartilage in their knee. And they didn't have to have knee surgery. Oh, you're talking crazy now, preacher. No, I'm talking about revival. I'm talking about revival. My wife was telling you tonight what a beautiful sight it was. Everybody had your hands up. Do you know that's the way revival starts? Right there, while you're worshiping and praising God, He can do miraculous, marvelous things. Amen. In the last conference I was in Bogota, Colombia, we were having a marvelous meeting. About 15,000 people were there in that service. And the Holy Ghost was moving in a mighty, mighty way. And that's what was happening. People were just worshiping God. Worshiping God. They were had their hands up. Women, men, children. Worshiping God. Worshiping God. Worshiping God. And all of a sudden, somebody started passing some crutches up from the front, up to the platform. They couldn't bring them up. It was too crowded. So they just passed. They didn't need them anymore because God had healed them while the service was going on. And a few minutes later, here came a wheelchair being passed up through the crowd up to the platform. Amen. Somebody's screaming, I can see. I can see. I can see. Another said, I can hear. I can hear. Just because the Holy Ghost was moving, and that was revival. Amen. And yes, we had an evangelist, but before he could ever lay hands on anybody, it was happening. As a matter of fact, we couldn't even get off the platform. It was just a sea of people. All you could do is stretch your hand out and pray for people. And people laying hands on people. And people getting the Holy Ghost. 800 people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And when we asked how many people had been healed, it was just like almost every hand was raised. Amen. That's revival, folks. That's a God-sent revival. That's the kind of revival we want here. Amen. We don't want one that's attached to some individual, and when the individual goes, the revival goes. We want a kind of revival that just gets us started and can't stop. That's what they had in Ephesus. Amen. But the Bible tells us that while they were having revival, they had a riot. Amen. Let me show you how great this revival was. Man, this is pretty neat stuff. Look at this right here. The Bible said in verse number 18, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. But when you get people to confess, and you got revival. You get people that get over their fear so much. They're not afraid to tell God what they need. You'll have revival. Amen. Now listen, and many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. Now, what's that? Those were witchcraft. That's witchcraft. They had books that had all kinds of spells and incantations and magic and drug formulas and all kinds of stuff like that. And they were very valuable. The Bible says, and listen to this carefully, it says they came in the presence of all men. It says they burned them. Everybody say they burned them. There are some things that are not worth selling. And if you got something that's not good for you, don't sell it to somebody else. Now, if you got clothes that you've outgrown, that's okay. Sell them. Give it to Jesus Christ. Amen. If you got something else that it's good, go ahead. But don't you go selling something to somebody that's not good for you. If it's bad for you, it's bad for them. Amen. And so that's what was happening here. Praise the Lord. They got so excited. Now let me read this. And this is, you're going to need an explanation here. I will show you this. And they counted the price of those books, and they found it 50,000 pieces of silver. You know how much that is in common day, common workers' language? just a common workman? Do you know how many days he would have to work to make 50,000 pieces of silver? 136 years. That's what those books were worth. That was Brother Bacon, that was 136 years worth of wages. Now you got revival when you get people to burn something up like that. Amen. I said you got revival when you got somebody willing to let go of something like that. Praise you. You get that deep in somebody's pocketbook, you're having revival. Amen. We baptized a fellow one time. He was so excited about getting baptized. Amen. He didn't take time. He just jumped in. Had his boots on. He did take off his hat. But he had his boots on. He had his wallet in his pocket. His keys. Amen. When he come up, he pulled out that old soaked wallet and he said, "I got this baptized too." And I said, "Hallelujah." Praise the Lord. That's revival. Amen. They were having revival. My, what a revival. They had revival so much that they had imitators. You get revival going and people want to imitate you. We got revival going. A few years ago, a fellow wrote a book and the Bible said, it was entitled, "How to Be Pentecostal Without Talking in Tongues." Well, you can't do it. But he wanted to because he liked what he felt around Pentecostals. He liked the way we worship. He liked the way we preach. He liked the way we pray. He liked what he saw and what he felt and what God did. Amen. He was an imitator. He was willing to go part of the way, but not all the way. He was willing to bring other people part of the way, but not all of the way. There was a preacher up in Dallas, and won't mention his name, but several years, well, along 30 plus years ago, amen, there was a recording of him making fun of Pentecostals. He was mimicking talking in tongues and making fun of people that talk in tongues. And I feared for the man's life. You start mocking the holy and you get in trouble with God real fast. But you know what? A few years later, I read something written by that same man that preaching to his church, that same church where he was mocking tongues. He said, "You know what?" He said, we are not going to talk in tongues, but we got to start acting Pentecostal. He said, we got to start worshiping like Pentecostals because people were leaving his church to go to Pentecostal churches because they could feel something. They liked the liberty. They liked the hand clapping. They liked the standing. They liked the liberty and the shouting and feeling the presence of the Holy Ghost. And he was afraid he was going to lose everybody. So he said, we may not talk in tongues like them, but we need to act like them. You're having revival when everybody wants to act like you. I don't know if you've noticed this, but as you travel around, and I've traveled all over the country, amen, and it's really interesting to drive by these churches, big old denominational churches, mainline churches they call them. And I'm not going to get into a bunch of names or anything, so don't worry. But you drive, you know what's interesting? Look at their sign. And look at the sign, and it says traditional service at this time, and it says contemporary service at this time. You know what a contemporary service is? It's one where they worship like we do, or at least as close as they're daring to go. It's one where they clap their hands. It's one where they sing songs that are not just old, staid, dull, dead, dry songs. Amen. It's where some of them actually talk in tongues. Praise God. I mean, in churches that a few years ago, they would have kicked you out in a heartbeat if you did something like that. But now, you know what? So many people wanting the real thing. They want to feel God. They want to worship God. They want to enjoy the Holy Ghost. And they're afraid they're going to lose them if they don't get with it. So you see, they had some imitators. We read. I talk about these guys every now and then because to me it's just really a funny story, and I think it's great. Do you remember these guys? They got all fired up, and they knew this man that had a devil, and they decided, we're going to go cast him out. We've seen Paul do it. We're going to imitate them Pentecostals over here. So they go to this guy's house, amen, and they say, okay, let's get him. So they get to praying with the guy, and they say, in the name of Jesus Christ that Paul preaches, come out of him. And they did, man. Spirits came out, ripped their clothes, beat them black and blue, drove them out of the house. Amen. You got to be careful what you imitate. You may know the name of the Lord, but you better know the Lord of the name. Amen. You better have an experience with God before you start tackling some things. Amen. They took imitation just a little too far, and they found out there was a lion there, because the Spirit said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Hey, when you have revival, you'll be known in hell. The devil will know your name. The demons will know your name. And they'll know your God. And they'll know your experience with your God. Praise the Lord. And so they were having revival. Amen. When you have revival, you're going to have a riot. Amen. And I like this. It said, and at the same time, there arose no small stir about the way. I mean, things getting stirred up. You know why they were getting stirred up? Because so many people were turning to Jesus Christ. It affected business. It affected business. Amen. You know, salvation affects some business. People get saved, they don't spend their money the way they used to. They don't buy some things they used to buy. That's right. You know, beer companies suffer. Yes, they do. Alcohol companies suffer. Cigarette companies suffer. Praise God. You want me to go on? Is that enough? Amen. Let me go a little further. Movie houses suffer. Amen. Television companies suffer. Amen. Makeup people suffer. Yeah. Amen. Women's beauty shops suffer. Men's barber shops increase. Praise God. And there are some things that suffer. And that's what happened in Ephesus. Revival hit them right in the pocketbook. And look at this. Now, what it was, the glory of Ephesus was the temple of Diana, or Artemis. It's the same figure. There was this, they said, it was very ancient. It was a statue made out of some kind of stone. It was ugly. I've seen pictures of it. It's ugly. Really ugly. But that was their god. I was going to worship something that I could see. I'd want something prettier than that. But they said it fell down out of heaven. And so they built, well, history says that their temple was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. It was 425 feet long, 225 feet wide, 60 feet high. It had 127 pillars, and each one of them was a gift of a king. 36 of the pillars were gilded in with gold and silver and inlaid with precious jewels. The altar that was the high altar that was in the temple was carved by one of the greatest of the Greek sculptors. I mean, it was fancy. It was pretty. People came from all over the world to see the temple of Diana. And because of that, you know what the number one tourist article was? A little statue of Diana. They made these little statues, and there were little shops everywhere, all over Ephesus. There were these little shops where you could buy these little Dianas. Most of them were made out of silver, and it was a good business. That was their number one souvenir. And a lot of people made a lot of money selling little Dianas, selling little gods. And so what happened when people started getting the Holy Ghost and revival started? They quit worshiping Diana. They started worshiping Jesus. And they stopped buying Dianas. Amen. And business went down. And when you hit people in the pocketbook, it's exciting. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We've got a presidential election coming up, and you know what's going to be the number one issue? People's pocketbook. Amen. That's for a lot of people, that's the number one thing. Amen. And so they were worried because they didn't have weren't selling Dianas like they were selling Dianas, and there was a riot. The Bible says that they started picking dust up and throwing it up in the air. I don't know what that means, but that's what they were doing. I guess they were just mad. You watch people just get angry and they do stupid stuff. I'm not going to ask if you've ever done it. I've never watched anybody else do it. I don't want to get too personal here. But they're just throwing dust up in the air and making noise and hollering and upset. And the Bible says that some were saying one thing and others were saying another thing. That's what confusion is. Amen. And that's what happens with a murmur. That's why God hates murmuring. That's why God hates murmuring. In a church, people get to murmuring. God hates it. You know why? Because it's always they say. Well, they said this. Well, who's they? I don't know, but they said. Amen. Well, it doesn't even matter until you know who said it and if it's true. Amen. Never go by what they say. You can never chase that down. Amen. I heard a guy the other day with a real interesting take. He said, I'm perfect. Somebody said, how do you figure that? He said, because I'm a nobody and nobody's perfect. So you want to be perfect? Be a nobody. Well, whatever that's worth. But they were having a riot, throwing dust up in the air, hollering at one another. Amen. And just a general ugly feeling in the air. And so they had this reasonable man that tried to quieten everybody down. And he comes out, he's Jewish, and of course he doesn't believe in Diana because he's Jewish. And he comes out and he lifts his hands up, tries to get everybody's attention so he can set the record straight. And this guy made a bunch of accusations, got everybody stirred up, wasn't even true. But they're there and he's trying to get everybody's attention. You know what they did? They did something I think it would be awesome if we would do it differently than what they did. The Bible says that for 2 hours, everybody say for 2 hours, for 2 hours, they just stood there and they screamed and chanted, great is Diana of the Ephesians. Great is Diana of the Ephesians. And they did that for 2 hours. What do you think would happen if a whole city would stand to its feet and say, great is Jesus Christ, Lord of glory. Great is Jesus Christ, Lord of glory. You talk about changing the atmosphere. That's not confusion, friend. That's conviction. Amen. That's Holy Ghost power. When you begin to say that name, I could imagine if you could get hundreds or 100,000 people together just saying that name and just do it for 2 hours, worshiping, just without stopping. There is no telling what would happen. But I can promise you one thing, it wouldn't be destruction. And it wouldn't be confusion. And it wouldn't be a riot. It would be a revival. Hallelujah. Praise God. High places would come down. spiritual strongholds would be broken. Spirits would be conquered. Amen. Nations could be delivered. Cities could be set free. Amen. We need revival today. Amen. Yeah, we've been having a little trouble, and we're going to keep having trouble because God wants to give us a revival. Here's the thing. You can't look at your trouble. You've got to look away from trouble. Amen. If you just keep looking at trouble, you're just going to keep having trouble. You just got to come to the conclusion what's going to happen is going to happen. People are going to do what people are going to do. The devil's going to do what devil's going to do. But my goal is revival. I'm thinking about souls. I'm thinking about backsliders. I'm thinking about revival. Thinking about people praying through. Thinking about worship. Amen. Praise God. And that's how you have revival. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. I'm through. Well, I'm not, but I'm going to stop. You're through. Amen. Praise God. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you're going to have revival, you're going to have some trouble, folks. Don't ever think you're not going to have trouble when you have revival. They always come together. I think of that guy was laying in the bed. You could tell he was real sick. Real sick. He's laying there, feels so bad. The preacher's praying for him. Amen. He says, I adjure thee in the name of Jesus. Rebuke the devil. And the guy's laying there and he says, I ain't in no condition to antagonize nobody. Too many people in that condition. Amen. Two people not wanting to stir up anybody. Not wanting to stir up anything. Let's just stay comfortable. Let's just sit here and wait for the rapture. Oh, we can't do that, folks. Amen. God's promised a revival. I said, God has promised a revival. God has promised a revival. We got to have a revival. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's what I'm looking for tonight. That's what I want to see tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. God just gave it to us a long time ago. I'm kind of like the fellow he said, I was born in the fire and the smoke won't do. Amen. I don't want to just be where it's smoky. I want to be where it's red hot. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Got to have revival. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anybody on board here tonight? Anybody want revival here tonight? Anybody got somebody you want to see saved? Anybody got a family member needs to be saved? Anybody got a friend needs to be saved? Anybody got a neighbor needs to be saved? Amen. Anybody believe it can happen? Anybody believe it can happen? Anybody expecting it to happen? Anybody working to make it happen? Anybody witnessing to make it happen? Anybody inviting to make it happen? Anybody giving to make it happen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I think it'd be good tonight if you just come down and say, Brother Grissom, that's kind of how I feel. That's kind of what I want to see. I'd like to just buy into that vision. I'd just like to lay claim to that. Amen. I'd just like to lay claim to a revival in Athens, Texas, the like of which we've never seen. Oh, we've seen some good stuff here. God's done great things down through time. Amen. I've seen some wonderful things in Athens United Pentecostal Church. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, I want to see more. I want to see more. I want to see God doing great and mighty things. Hallelujah. On a regular basis. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, do you know what you get when you don't expect anything? You don't get anything. But you know what you get when you expect something? With God, you usually get more than you expected. Amen. He likes to exceed our expectations. He likes to do more than we thought He would do. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's just worship Him right now. Let's just give ourselves to Him. Amen. God, tonight we need a revival like we've never seen before. God, there's a lot of souls in our city that need to be saved. There's a lot of backsliders that need to feel Holy Ghost conviction and come home. There's a lot of blinded eyes that need to be opened. There's a lot of deaf ears that need to be unstopped.
Bend it on down.
Amen. There's a lot of hearts.
Bend it on down.
Hearts that have
Lord,
been hardened.
Let the Holy
that
Ghost
need to be
come
stopped.
On down. Bend it on down.
There's a lot of people, God, that has lifted
Lord, let the
to
Holy
deception.
Ghost come on
that
down.
That need to hear the clarion
bend
call.
Bend it on down. Bend it on down.
God, we ask it
Lord,
tonight.
Let the Holy Ghost come
apostolic.
On down.
Holy
bend
Ghost.
Bend it on down.
Holy
bend
Ghost.
Bend it on down.
Revive.
Lord, let the Holy yeah. Ghost come on down.
Hallelujah.
Bend it on down. Bend it on down. Lord,
oh,
let the Holy
oh,
Ghost come
it.
On down.
God, we
send it on down.
On
send it on down. Lord, let the Holy Ghost come
we
on down. Heavenly Father, here I come. Let your Holy Spirit fall. Send down the power,
it.
Let it fall, I pray.
Yeah.
As we lift our praise and
yeah.
pray your name. Send
yeah.
it on down.
Hallelujah.
On down.
Oh, oh, oh,
Lord, let the Holy
again.
Ghost Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down. Heavenly Father, here I come. Let your Holy Spirit fall. Send down the power and let it fall, I pray. As we lift our praises to your name. Send it on down. Send it on down. Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down. Send it on down. Send it on down. Send it on down, Lord, let
oh,
the Holy
yeah.
Ghost come on down. Send it on down, send it on down, Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down. It's coming down, 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 coming down, down, down. The glory of the Lord is coming down. When the saints began to pray for the Lord to have His way, the glory of the Lord is coming down.
Oh,
coming down, down, down,
down.
Coming down, down, down. The glory of the Lord is coming down. When my faith began to pray for the Lord to have His way, the glory of the Lord is coming down. Oh, coming down, down, down. Coming down, down, down. The glory of the Lord is coming down. The glory of the Lord is coming down.
Hallelujah.
It's coming down, down, down. It's coming down, down, down. The glory of the Lord is coming down. When the saints begin to pray for the Lord to have His way, the glory of the Lord is coming down. It's coming down, down, down. It's coming down, down, down. The glory of the Lord is
when
the saints began to pray for the Lord to have His way, the glory of the Lord is coming down. Coming down, 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 it's coming down, down, down. The glory of the Lord is coming down. When the saints glory of the Lord is coming down. Coming down,
hallelujah.
Down. The glory of the Lord is coming down. When the saints begin to pray for the Lord to have his way, the glory of the Lord is coming down.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Let's have a revival from the pulpit to the pew. Let's have a revival. Let it start with me and you. That reaches out to a lost and hungry world to bring them in. This is our joy. It's our survival. Let's pray for a Holy Ghost arrival. Let's have a revival. Let's have a revival. From the pulpit to the pew. Let's have a revival. And let it start with me and you. That reaches out to a lost and hungry world to bring them in. Joy. It's our survival. Let's pray for a Holy Ghost arrival. Let's have a revival. Let's have a revival. From the pulpit to the pew. Let's have a revival. Let it start with me and you. That reaches out to a lost and hungry world to bring them in. This is our joy. It's our survival.
Let's pray for a Holy Ghost arrival. Let's have a revival.
Let's have a revival. From the pulpit to the pew. Let's have a revival. Let it start with me and you. That reaches out to a lost and hungry world to bring them in. This is a joy.
It's our
survival.
Let's have
a Holy Ghost arrival. Let's have a revival.
Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Anthony Mangan in Alexandria, Louisiana, was quickened to the verse. For the Bible said, and the Lord added daily. Everybody say daily. And the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. And so he made up his mind that they're going to have church every day. Every day. Every day. Amen. And so every day there's a service in Pentecostals of Alexandria Church every day. Now, of course, they got 2,500 people, and probably half of them are preachers. So, you know, they got a little more to work with than what we got right now. Amen. But if the Lord will grant it, I'd like to see the day when we'll have service every day. Amen. There'll be enough people to have some musicians every day. And we'll have enough preachers to have a preacher every day. We'll have enough witnesses to bring people to church every day. Now, not everybody gets to go every day. I know that. I know that. Amen. I'm not trying to start a cult here. Yeah, I understand. People got to work jobs and do things. I understand that. Amen. But I'd like to see, wouldn't you like to see the day when we can do that? Praise the Lord. Amen. Wouldn't you like to see I don't know what you see, but right over here in front of that building, I see a big, big, beautiful building on that hill right down there. It's a natural amphitheater. It just goes right straight down like that right there. Amen. And it would be real easy to fit at least a 500-seat auditorium, if not 1,000 or 1,200. But 500 would get us started, wouldn't it? Amen. Praise God. Wouldn't that be a good thing? Amen. Anybody want to see that happen? Praise God. I believe God wants to do that. Amen. Glory. Everybody say revival.
Revival.
Amen. That's what we want to see around here. Everybody say riot.
Riot.
That's not what we want to see, but it's going to happen anyway. If we have revival. Amen. Praise God. You know what? When you have revival, you're the most talked about church in town. Some people talk good about you. Some people talk bad about you. But everybody talks about you. But that's all right. That's the price of revival. Amen. God give us revival. Amen. Thank you. God bless you. I appreciate your time. Thank you for bearing with me and letting me deliver my burden tonight. Greet one another in the name of the Lord. See you Wednesday night. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. I appreciate it. You too. Yeah. Praise the Lord, sister. Bless you.
Thank you. Would you put up a different...